Welcome to this Knowledge Natter by RCVS Knowledge. Here we have friendly and informal discussions with our Knowledge Award champions and those who are empowered by quality improvement in their work. Whether you're a veterinary surgeon, veterinary nurse, receptionist, or member of management, quality improvement will and can positively impact your everyday life. Listen and be inspired.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this RCVS Knowledge Natter. My name is Lou Northway. I'm one of the clinical leads here at RCVS Knowledge. And today I'm talking to Abby from Rosemillion Veterinary Practice, a part of CVS Corporation. So hi, Abby, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's lovely to have you here. I've been really excited about talking to you about your project because it's a topic we haven't actually covered on the Knowledge Natters yet. So before we get into your project, can you please start by telling those listening a little bit about you, your career journey, and how you've got to this point now?
Yep. So I will go back to when I was at school. So I finished school and I always wanted to do something with animals. So I went off to college and I dropped out of college because I hated it. So I went and worked at Marks and Spencer's and I thought that was it. My career is down the drain. I'm never going to get a job at a veterinary practice. So I did that for a couple of years. And then one day I thought, why don't I just go and hand out my CV and do some work experience? So I handed out my CV and I managed to get a job as a student. So I got my first job and I qualified in 2016. I then became head nurse there. I then went on and did my VetsNow ECC certificate. And then I had a bit of a quarter life crisis and I wanted a complete challenge and I went and joined the army.
Wow, gosh, I wasn't expecting that. Continue.
So I joined the army to go into the veterinary corps, but I broke my ankle and then got stress fractures in both my legs. So I left the army after 18 months and I'm now here at Rosemillion.
So wow, that's quite a journey, isn't it? I don't think I've had anybody that's come at the profession sort of quite in the ankle before, but so interesting.
And then I just always wanted a challenge.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then your journey to find sort of like your first few steps on the QI ladder, like how did that all come about?
So I started at the hospital and I'd never done QI at all. And we're really lucky that they do a lot of QI here and we have a QI lead vet. So she's called Alice. So she kind of took me under her wing and I started doing a little bit of auditing. And then one of my colleagues said, oh, well, I've done some environmental swabs and found a few gross things, but I sort of haven't done any more with it. Can you take it on? And I didn't really want to do it, to be honest. I thought it sounded like a lot of work. But actually, once I got into doing it, it became a bit of a passion project. So I was swabbing things and finding lots of gross things around the hospital. And I just got really excited by it. And it all sort of went from there, really, with the auditing.
And how did you sort of go about this project that you got your Knowledge Award for? How did you sort of decide what to swab, where to swab, how to swab? Where did that all come from?
So it started off, I thought, well, I'll check some kind of clinical and non-clinical areas. So I did theatre tables, prep room tables, door handles, phones, keyboards. I even did the toilet door handles. So I swabbed all those places and the results were really gross. We had Pseudomonas and various other horrible things. So I spoke to the lab and I got some really good advice from them. And I did kind of implementing new protocols then. So hand washing protocols, bare below the elbow, people getting changed into their uniform when they arrived at work. And from there, I then started re-swabbing and re-auditing and looking at the results. And I never intended on kind of doing this for the QI awards, but once I'd done it and the results were actually improving and we were doing well, it was Alice at work that said, why don't you submit this, you know, for the knowledge RCVS Knowledge Awards? So that's kind of how it all came about. It was a real accident and I'd never really done much QI and it was just sort of a bit of a learning curve as I was swabbing and kind of figuring out what I needed to do along the way.
Yeah, and were you pleasantly surprised with QI that your sort of first initial thoughts on what it was going to be like are very different to actually what it is like?
I thought it was very intimidating. It was something I didn't really want to do. I didn't know how to do it. It was quite overwhelming, but actually as I was doing it, I didn't really realise that I was auditing until afterwards. And actually, it's really easy and anyone can do it.
Yeah, and part of your project was involved giving a questionnaire to your team as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so after I'd swabbed and the results were not great, I just wondered what else we could do to improve. So I thought by handing out a questionnaire to the team, I could get things like, you know, are you wearing gloves when you look at ears? Are you wearing PPE for infectious cases? And I even put some questions on there that were like, you know, do you wash your hands when you've been to the toilet? Just things that it gets people thinking. So not necessarily to kind of, you know, I didn't want to upset people or offend anyone, but it just gets people thinking. And then with the results of that, we implemented things like sanitizing phones and keyboards, giving out hand sanitizers to all staff, making sure that we had the correct hand wash in the toilets and by sinks. So it just was sort of food for thought, really. And results were quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And it then gave me something else to re-audit as well down the line to see if more people were wearing gloves or PPE and that kind of stuff.
And I bet everybody was really interested to see sort of how things changed and improved as well.
Yeah, I think people were quite shocked by the results initially, but I think because I was, you know, I was updating everyone on kind of what was found on the swabs and what was found on the questionnaires, people were then more invested to kind of do their part to help, I guess.
Yeah, and environmental swabbing is so interesting, isn't it? I've done it myself in practice in a few years ago now. I probably should redo it. You've inspired me. But at the time, I remember being like, blimey, you know, in places at the end, we'd done our end of day deep clean, but we were still having growing things, not necessarily serious things, but still stuff that shouldn't be there. So are you making sure chemicals are the appropriate concentration? How can we make that process easier? One of the things that was really early identified in my practices with that our clipper spray always ends up going back in the cupboard. It's not near the actual clippers, so people just get the clippers and they put them back. But you know, just little things like that, making sure that we're cleaning them between patients, you forget, don't you're in a rush. So embedding those little system changes in your hand hygiene audit as well, that was really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, so again, it was just something that I thought of along the way, and it just kind of, yeah, it helped with getting people thinking again about what they're doing, and getting people to kind of improve just by handing out questionnaires and doing audits. I think that in itself is quite a powerful tool for change.
Yeah, and to involve everybody as well, isn't it? So like, what do you do? Because I know, for example, I stroke a dog in reception and then I walk out the back and then I have to crack on with the nop and I go to the kennel and I get the dog out and I think, gosh, I've now just touched the patient without washing my hands in the middle. So it's so hard sometimes to slow yourself down to remember to do things.
And we also found Pseudomonas on our reception phones, which was really quite shocking. So I think the receptionists are obviously petting all the patients as they come in and then picking up the phone. So every computer station has wipes, but it also has hand sanitizer now, just to encourage people to wipe things and sanitize their hands.
And I also think like the handle of the otoscope as well, so like we're great at sanitizing the headpiece, but we still often touch the ear with our hands or gloved hand before you then grab your otoscope and you know and then I think, oh my gosh, there's another way you can
maybe
cross contaminate.
Let me know,
yes. And your practice is super enthusiastic with QI, and this isn't the only sort of project area that you have looked at. So what else have you been doing in practice?
So I've currently been doing audits on booking sheets. We've had lots of discrepancies with things like suture materials, lots of price discrepancies, so things like that are not getting booked out properly, but also the batches on controlled drugs. I feel like it's a bit of an unconventional thing to audit, but it just sort of will help hopefully the practice dealing with our stock levels and that kind of stuff.
So Abby, your practice is super enthusiastic with QI and you've done loads of different other audit projects as well. So I wondered if you could talk to me a little bit about the other areas that you've covered.
Yeah, so one of the things we were doing last year was a wound scoring chart. So in our consult rooms, we've got charts that have kind of a score and a description of what a wound looks like. So when we see things post-operatively, we can then give it a score to make sure that across the board, all the staff are kind of rating wounds kind of the same. Is that, I know that's something you've done in your practice as well.
Yeah, so I've been working on this myself, but I haven't actually got a finished product yet. But I think it's so important because the interpretation of a wound is so different person to person, isn't it? And yeah, knowing what normal wound healing and what stage of wound healing it is, and whether it's normal inflammation or unexpected inflammation, depending on what day it is and things like that. So just helping to sort of standardise what people scoring to make it a little bit more accurate is really, really helpful. So yeah, I'm all on board, and that's great. And have your team said it's really useful and it has supported them?
Yeah, so it's something that's really helped, especially the nurses that are doing nurse consults. If there's different people seeing back the same animal, it's just, yeah, it's helped them to kind of distinguish whether it's improving or if it's getting worse. So we found them really useful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the audits, like everyday things, because like, for example, neutering, you don't anticipate that you're going to have complications. And I think when people think of complications, it's just something big and serious. But actually, you know, clipper rash is a complication that needs to be addressed because it impacts welfare, doesn't it? And it's not nice. So, yeah.
That's something we do really regularly. So every couple of months, we'll have a look at neutering complications, and touch wood, they're always quite low, and I think that's something we do a really good job on, is just keeping on top of that stuff. So that's, yeah, one of our routine kind of things that we audit. We also look at booking sheets, all the regular auditing stuff we do. It just becomes second nature, I think, doesn't it, when you do it all the time.
Yeah, I feel like you view practice life through totally different eyes, don't you? It's like every single thing you do is an opportunity to improve, whether it's patient outcomes, financial, like you say, workflow, stock, everything you can audit and monitor and try and make better.
And it's not directly QI related, but we've been doing a lot of work looking at human factors. Mm-hmm. So we've done some really interesting CPD, and it's something we're really trying to implement in practice just to improve what we're doing. And I think it's a reflection on what the NHS do.
Yes.
And I think it's something that's been really helpful for us as a team, looking at kind of errors and why they happen and what we can do to improve on that.
Yeah, I see them very much aligned as two things, but they cross over so much, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Abby, it's been so nice to talk to you and lovely to meet you. Congratulations again on your Knowledge Award. I know it's a heck of a lot of work, but it's an amazing, massive project. So I would recommend that everyone that's listening heads on over to the RCVS Knowledge website and read of Abby's case report, because it details all of the outcome, where bacteria was grown, where it wasn't grown, and the amazing improvements that she made with her team. So lovely to meet you, Abby. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks.
We hope you have enjoyed this recording. Please share it with your colleagues and friends. If you would like to find out more about quality improvement and access our free courses, examples and templates, please visit our quality improvement pages on our website at rcvsknowledge.org.